Well, it is my joy to be here and to be for the first time in this brand new place, and a good number out to the house of God tonight. I'm glad the Lord has worked all of this out and caused this week to be a week set aside. I trust that you have been praying for me. I've been doing my best to pray concerning this meeting. And I'm sure the Lord, in His kindness, will minister to our hearts together this week. It's always a little difficult. We only have four evenings, and sometimes we're not that quick to warm up to one another. Many times it seems as though we'll wait until about Wednesday to figure out if we like one another. So I think, being that we only have four evenings, if you'll just go ahead and determine tonight that I like that guy, we'll get that behind us and get on with the meeting. I say this sincerely. Your pastor has been a true blessing to me, and he certainly has not brought in the best that could be brought in for this particular meeting. But whatever my best is, I have a strong desire to give it to you. So we're trusting the Lord to do that for us in this particular meeting. I have asked our church family to be praying. They're very kind, as I'm out and away from there, to enter into prayer that the Lord would do some unusual things, as we are in, I believe, these latter days, and desiring to be part of and caught up in those latter rains. And I want to see God do some great things. Life is far too busy for us to waste time accomplishing nothing. But I believe that when we bring ourselves honestly before the Lord, beseeching the God of heaven to give us the help that we need, that He's well able to do that. And so we'll trust Him for that. Now, please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts, chapter number 7. The book of Acts, chapter number 7. Thank you, choir, for the wonderful songs tonight. I rejoiced as you sang, and then for the good special tonight as well. The enjoyable congregational singing. I thoroughly love congregational singing. I like it better the older I get and the worse shape my voice gets in. That gives me opportunity to do a little singing and have it overshadowed by many other voices as well. But I do appreciate the good songs I've heard in this place, and the kind of music that I believe is uplifting to the cause of Christ. I pulled onto these grounds for the first time this afternoon and went down to your prophet's chamber. Whoever is responsible for keeping the prophet's chamber so neat and clean, I want to give you a real heartfelt thank you. It's just a wonderful place to rest. And then you went way beyond and made sure that there were a lot of snacks down there. I'll have to double up on my cholesterol medicine. I plan on devouring all of that I can, but I do appreciate what I've seen already. If I had just come into this area, into this neighborhood, brought my family with me, and was looking for a church to attend, when I ride by and see how well you keep these grounds, I would be enticed to come in, at least give you a try. I believe it's important when the house of God looks right, when it's kept upright. I am convinced when I go to churches and when I get there on Monday evening, just prior to the service, and from the parking lot to the front door, I'm attacked by fleas. I know that we're not going to have much of a service that week. When I have to fight the underbrush to get in the door, and when I see dead flies in the window sills, I bow my head and say, "Dear God, you have a lot to work through in this place." But I've noticed that the place is well kept. God's house should be that way. And I appreciate you keeping such a good testimony here. What an interesting passage of scripture in the book of Acts, chapter number 7. Here we are introduced to a man that has captured my attention for many years, and one that I've often bowed my head in humility and asked the Lord to make me more like him. His name is Stephen. And this man is brought about to be one of those first great lay workers of the New Testament era, and used as a deacon. In doing so, in choosing this man, they noticed that he has this unusual characteristic about him, that he appears to be full of God, empowered by the Holy Ghost. This sets him apart from the average man. Now, there are many who do not appreciate all that he is about, and he ends up being confronted here in this chapter. He begins preaching. I like preaching deacons. He begins preaching, and when he does so, he has a lot of content in his message. There are some great messages in the Bible that are short, but I'm encouraged when I get around a long-winded Stephen. He preached for the entire chapter, and then they stoned him. So please tonight refrain if I preach the entire chapter. But this man gives a lot of the history of Israel. In doing so, he marches them through, showing them that God has touched this people and given them great prophets of old. But in doing so, he also lets them know that their actions toward these have not been godly. And this brought about great conviction in their hearts. They didn't receive the message very well. They were not even civil in their actions at all. Certainly they had not been taught tolerance as we're taught in this age. Verse number 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. There are a couple of things that touched my heart as a young man about this scene. One is there in the last verse where the Bible says that this great man bows and begs God to not lay this event to the charge of these people who have been so cruel to him. As a young man, I felt as though I could not achieve this kind of greatness, this kind of response. And then I also was caught up in the fact that in such a traumatic experience, instead of him leaving from this earth kicking and screaming and angry and a bit bitter about the matter, the Bible says he fell asleep. Now, we're all going to have to finish up some way. I may get snatched out of here by way of the rapture. I'm a candidate for that. But if I live my life, I'd like for it to be long, I mean very long, and I'd like to leave out from here by just falling asleep. I'd like to have the kind of peace in my heart that no matter how difficult the circumstances round about me, that I could identify with Christ in my last moments and I could die with joy in my soul. But the thing that really captures my attention in the text is in verse number 55. The Bible says, but he being full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to preach tonight by the help of God on being full of the Holy Ghost. I'll make the announcement to you quickly that I'm not going to preach on being full of the Holy Ghost because I am an expert at it. I'm not going to preach on this tonight because I believe that I am a great teacher of the subject. Rather, the truth is I'm in great need of knowing more about being full of the Holy Ghost. But I do believe that this is something that ought to be the desire of every Christian. I'd sure like to be filled up with God tonight. I'd like for my life to be categorized as one whose life has been filled up with God. Now, there are a lot of things you'll be remembered for when you pass away, and a lot of things I'll be remembered for. But I'd like for the top of that, the apex of that, to be that somebody would have to walk by and say, he sure had a lot of God about him. It seemed as though his life was just filled up with God and with the things of God and the work of God. It seemed like that just controlled him. He was full of the Holy Ghost. Well, now this is said here of Stephen, so I'm sure that it's true and it is achievable apparently. It ought to be a real desire of each of our hearts. I believe it would be right for me to say to you tonight, though, before that we enter into the message, that to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be full of God, is not a matter of being one who is speaking in some unusual gibberish. There are those who seem to be convinced that you cannot be full of God unless you speak in an unknown tongue. But the Bible does not teach this. In fact, there are many who the Bible has clearly indicated that they were full of God and they spake with no unusual tongues. And then to be full of God does not mean fanaticism. There are those who would like to be categorized as being filled up with God, but they're afraid that this particular thing would make them some kind of unusual phenomenon or a fanatic. Maybe would cause them to be viewed as being weird, strange, unusual. Well, now I can't promise you that there wouldn't be some who may would think that you were a bit weird. You will find that if you are ever filled with the glory of God and the person of God and the Spirit of God, I believe that we would find that those that we may associate with who are farthest from God may consider you to be the most weird person they've ever met. It's not necessarily true that everybody would view you in a wonderful fashion. But some people shy away from being full of the Holy Ghost because they're afraid of being labeled a fanatic. I believe it'd be worth the label. Yes, sir. Yes, yes. And then there are those that seem to think that being full of the Holy Ghost is to be arrogant. Now, I have a little trouble with this crowd. Seems that they want to convince me that they're full of God while they're looking down their spiritual nose at me. And that as they view the church as a whole, that nobody else has reached the plateau that they've reached. But I have not noticed those that I have been convinced have been full of the Holy Ghost. I've not noticed them being arrogant. In fact, I've noticed just the opposite. It seems as though those who have entered into this endeavor to be full of the Holy Ghost end up being humble people, as I recognize quickly here in Stephen's life. There's another thing I want to make sure that we understand tonight, and that is that to be full of the Holy Ghost does not ensure you from being abused by this world or by the devil. You'll notice in the text that Stephen is taken advantage of by this world. And even though God the Son stands up about the matter, it's allowed to continue. And so you are not insulated from all of the wiles of the devil and of the wickedness of the world. You are not insulated from hard times, difficult times, poverty, or sickness just because you're full of the Holy Ghost. There are those who seem to instruct that if you could ever reach this level of being full of the Holy Ghost, that you will be privileged to ride in Mercedes, live in million-dollar homes, drink out of gold-plated faucets, and just enjoy a life that has no troubles or struggles. I don't see that in Stephen's life. And yet the Bible declares he was full of the Holy Ghost. I want to remind you that to be full of the Holy Ghost is not just for preachers. And I hope that tonight we will recognize in this particular service that there really isn't anything that you need or that I need in our practical lives more than this matter. I need to be consumed with God. I need to be filled up with the Holy Ghost of God. And you need that tonight. As a dad, as a mother, as a granddad, a grandmother, as a young person, there is no greater need in your life than this need of being full of God. If I'm going to make a difference, if I'm going to be able to be one who will bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ in my earthly life, I need to be full of the Holy Ghost. The word full here is an interesting word, and one you may want to underscore. And even though tonight we could enter into long discourse or even a school-type atmosphere and trying to discuss the matters of being filled with the Holy Ghost. But suffice it to be said that the word full and to be filled literally means controlled. You can define this word and you can ask yourself the question, who controls my life? Who calls the shots in my world? Who is it that literally is in control of my actions? When I'm traveling the roads and when they are blowing their horns at me and giving me all kinds of unusual gestures and when they curse me and when they abuse me, who's in control? When I'm on the job and there in that workplace setting, there are those who intimidate me and those who try to peck, if you will, at my Christianity, who's in control? Control, I'm in trouble. I need to be controlled by God. In verses 2 through 53, Stephen realizes that he's up against an angry crowd. This crowd is not your typical congregational setting. I mean, here's a man who has the opportunity now to preach his first and only message, by the way. And when he preaches it, he has a hostile crowd to preach it to. He knows that they're out for blood. He knows they despise him. And yet, I see a man who is so calm, so collected, so gathered together that he is able to methodically walk through every point of his message. He is not disrupted. They have evil thoughts toward him. And trust me, a preacher can read more than you think. I preach to people all the time, and many times I watch them when they, roll that eye, and that's all right as long as they don't grunt out loud with it. Some turn toward the walls, but the worst are those who bear down on you. And you can read that it's not saying, I love you, preacher. I wish you were close enough to where I could hug you. They may be wishing you're close enough to where they could squeeze your neck. And that's what Stephen is up against. And yet, instead of this derailing his message and tearing up his thoughts and causing him to have to chase down the medicine cabinet to get to some Valium, he's calm and collected and delivers a message. A rather lengthy message. I doubt he ever looks at his watch, but I guarantee you they are. They're checking him out and watching all of this and getting madder by the moment, but it doesn't bother him. And you want to know why? It's not because he's educated and because he's been through school and knows how to be a good orator. It's not because he's been through classes in hermeneutics or homiletics. It's because he's full of the Holy Ghost. And being full of the Holy Ghost, he's able to be calm and collected. And if there's one thing I need in this rigorous world, it's to be calm and collected while the rest of the world is biting their nails. God help us in this age to not let this world rattle us. It's amazing how many Christians seem to indicate to me that they know that God's in control of all things and that they know that all the end is going to be good, and they're just completely consumed with all of these sovereign truths, and yet it seems as though they're torn up constantly and stay a nervous wreck. I need to be full of the Holy Ghost so I can be calm when this world flies apart. I don't want to be part of it. I want to be calm. My wife deserves a husband that's not flying apart. My son and my daughter, I've got one son in heaven, one son here on earth, one daughter here on earth, both of them grown, four grandbabies. My son and my daughter and their mates, they deserve, they need somebody who's not torn up by this world. Somebody who's not worried to death that Washington's coming apart. Somebody that's not worried to death about all of the economic woes of the world. Somebody that's not torn up about all of the issues of politics. But somebody who's calm and who is able to say in the midst of the fire. Now it's easy to say it, folks, when it's all going good at our house. But in the midst of the fire, they're able to say with a confidence, God will handle this thing. Not a bundle of nerves. When I have my little grandbabies coming up around about me, I want them to see the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and be born again. Now they're going to need to see a grandpa who is not torn up about all the issues, not rattled by the devil, but knows there's a God in heaven who's in control. The only way that can happen is for me to be full of the Holy Ghost. I pastor a church. I've pastored that same church for over 24 years. That doesn't mean I'm a great man. It probably means that there wasn't anybody else who would put up with me. For over 24 years, straight out of Bible college, right to one church. And I'm telling you, there have been a lot of situations come and go in 24 years.
a lot of opportunities for us to just come unglued. We've had a few fights. We've had some skirmishes. It hasn't all been hugging and kissing and loving on one another. You know, sometimes family squabbles. You wish it wasn't that way. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. The only way that I can be a decent pastor to those good people is if I'm full of the Holy Ghost. So that somewhere in the midst of the chaos, there's someone somewhere who is able to be calm in the midst of the storm. What good's it going to do if all of us fly apart? And then notice, if you will, in verse number 54. Being full of the Holy Ghost gave him proper words unrehearsed. When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Interesting thing to me, if you go back and you study the prelude to this great message, you will not find opportunity given to Stephen to sit down and go over this thing and rehearse it. He does not have the kind of time, the days that are spent on many messages and many, many sermons or even many speeches. Like when a politician will make a great speech, as they call it, and they rehearse it and work on it and work on it and work on it. I don't find that opportunity given to Stephen. But he steps out there and he begins to say these things that are cutting right to the heart of the matter, right to the heart of the people. Words unrehearsed. Words that are with weight and with power, strength behind them, and fitly placed. And the only thing that I can find that brings that about is the fact that he was full of the Holy Ghost, able to give words unrehearsed. When my boy comes to me and his heart's broken, that his chin's starting to quiver, and he says, "Daddy, do you have a little time? I really need to talk to you about something. I've never been a husband before, never been a daddy before, and I want to honor God in these things, and I'm a little torn. I'm needing something. I tell you, I need a word from God. Yes, sir. I need words fitly spoken. I need to be able to speak unrehearsed. I need to have one who is speaking in and through me. I need to be full of the Holy Ghost." I told my wife here just the other day that I'm more convinced now than ever that preaching is a divine act. I see many different congregations, and I don't know many of them when I'm preaching to them. Very few of them, only the ones that sit in my own congregation, do I know some personal things about them. And yet God Almighty works in those words. Time and time again, I'll have people say to me, "Preacher, that dealt with my heart. That dealt with my life." And I didn't know them. Words fitly spoken, unrehearsed. Mom, Dad, there are going to be a lot of times when you need these right words. Listen. Young person, in your relationships one with another, as you're growing up and as you learn to have friends, those words are important. You need to be able to speak right words unrehearsed. Neighbor, you need the right word for your neighbor so that you don't end up in some kind of feud one with the other. When you go down on the job and when everything's pressurized and when people are against you and you're running hard and seems like all is going terrible and wrong on a Monday, there needs to be some way to where you can speak the right words at the right time. Otherwise, we'll be destroyed. Our testimony will be ruined. And the only way that I can have that is to be full of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 55. Being full of the Holy Ghost left him calm and collected, gave him proper words unrehearsed, and caused him to look up. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up. Now, I believe there is a design of the devil. And I believe it is working in these days like I've never seen before. The design of the devil is to take modern media and to cause things to be viewed as bigger than life, insurmountable, too large even for God. And they give us all of the woes and they inundate it with us constantly. The talk shows are always telling you how bad everything is. Fox News is always telling us how bad everything is. In case that's not enough of a boatload, bring on MSNBC. And they can tell you how terrible it all is. And then if that's not enough, go ahead and break out CNN. And you can get all of the bad you need. And before you know it, that's all you and your neighbor are talking about. And then that's all you and your mate are talking about. And you're exactly where the God of this world wanted us to be. You are down, discouraged. That's the reason that it doesn't matter even if the change is right or if the message is right, that Americans are standing around with gaping mouths just wanting some kind of change, any kind of change, because they seem to be convinced that everything is wrong. And there's been this onslaught of the devil to cause us all to be right here. And it's made its way into the churches. Those who used to whistle Amazing Grace on the way into the house of God and had that head up and erect and knowing that everything was going to be all right. Now it's even into the churches. Everything's just terrible. It's all wrong. And the whole world's down and the whole world's bad. Now I'm telling you, it's not one message that's going to pick your head up. It's not one revival meeting that's going to pick your head up. It's not one happening that's going to pick your head up. But it's going to be whether or not we ever get full of the Holy Ghost. And if we get full of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, He'll pick your head up. He'll get me looking up. Realizing that there is a God in heaven. And everything's going to be all right. The only thing can lift a man's head in this kind of age is going to be being full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Now, by the way, if you can be up against the kind of crowd that Stephen was, getting ready to get your brains bashed in by rocks, you're knowing you're facing certain death, I'd say the times we're living in are not quite that bad. So if God Almighty can lift a man's head in that kind of situation, I believe He can pick mine up and get me looking up. I believe the only thing that set him apart on that day and made him different from all the rest was the fact that he was full of the Holy Ghost. I don't know that I need anything any more than this. This is my greatest need. I need my head lifted. You need your head lifted. Then in verse number 55, I see something else. Being full of the Holy Ghost gave him stability. The Bible says, looked up steadfastly. In other words, even if he has opportunity, here's a man's not running. He's stable where he's at. Doesn't look good. It's not the best of circumstances, but he's not looking for another church. He's not searching down the road. Circumstances seem bad, but he don't think he can run off down to another place and fix it. Somehow, his heart is stabilized, steadfast. I've mentioned my babies, and I have some older preachers, and I'm not really old. I just have old hair. But I have some older preacher friends of mine who say that
now that I have these four grandbabies, and by the way, one on the way, another one on the way. Now that I have these four grandbabies, they say they work their way into every message I've got. So you may have to hear about this all week. But I don't know that there's one thing, not one thing, that my family members and my church family needs more than for me to be stable. I've sat across from my desk in my office with more moms and dads than I ever want to talk about or think about who have lost their children and who are sitting there crying like babies and wondering what in the world went wrong, and I have tried to pastor them when they were just like a roller coaster. Spiritual as they could be for a little while and then all just down and out. And then coming back up here in a revival and oh yes, glory to God, gather those babies together. We're gonna have family altar and then oh, they skid right off the other side and those babies are lost. Lost! I don't know that my family nor my church family nor my friends need anything more than stability. I need to be stable. I need to be one who has a stabilizing force greater than my ability. Because there's not one of us in this room tonight who is able within ourselves to be stable. You don't have the nervous system for it in this age, and I don't either. But if I am full of God, He can help me stand when every devil in hell is trying to dislodge me. Stability. You see, a lot of the things that you thought being full of the Holy Ghost would cause you to do and be maybe had nowhere in the picture. Maybe God, when those who are full of the Holy Ghost, maybe He's more concerned with those practical avenues of your life. It changes that very core of an individual. Makes them stable for those babies. To where those babies know who mama is, know what mama taught them, and know mama's going to be teaching it when she goes to her grave. And then notice in verse number 60, being full of the Holy Ghost gave him stability, but it also gave him a forgiving spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Dear Christian brother and sister, if I need anything at all in this age, I need a forgiving spirit. Oh, how I need a forgiving spirit. The people that I pastor are my people. The good ones and the bad ones. And when they're having bad days and bad weeks and they don't always say the things about me like they really maybe would say if they were tuned up a little better with God, I'm going to need a forgiving spirit. I'm going to need the kind of spirit like I see here in Stephen, that can say, dear God in heaven, I love them anyway. I love them anyway. Forgive them, Lord. Show them mercy. Show them mercy. I just preached for a young preacher here a few weeks back, and the church is in the middle of a fight. This side's raised up against this side, and seemed like that crowd in there wanting to fight the pulpit. A lot of bitterness. He told me, he said, I'm going to tell you what's the truth, preacher. It wouldn't shock me one bit if God didn't just kill about a half a dozen of them. And the way he said it, I sensed that was really his desire. Now listen, before you judge him too hard, tell you what, very few know what it is to really pour your life into a work and love people and love God. Then all of a sudden you have them raise up against you.
And he was a young man, and I'm praying God will help him through these things. But his only hope is somewhere in the midst of all this to not raise up that fist and not get bold like Goliath and not feel like he's a great man and can walk out and straighten that thing out by snatching him up. But rather finding that place somewhere humbly before God Almighty and saying, Lord, my greatest need is to be full of Thee, full of Thee, full of Thee. Our worst enemies need to know that we desire them no harm. And I'm telling you tonight, I can't show that unless I'm full of the Holy Ghost. That's bigger than me. I didn't come up that way. I don't know how you came up. I didn't come up that way. I pulled on the 4th Street in Conestoga not long ago. And there were 3 young people walking down the road there. They were dressed in the goth black. They had blacked out their hair and their eyebrows and had black markings all over them. They had blacked up even their fingernails, and they were guys. They were in the black trench coats, black combat boots. I pulled up beside of them. And I got their attention. I said to them, I said, fellas, my name's Tony Finney. I pastor the First Baptist Church right up here on 2nd Street. I happen to notice you walking down the road here, and I don't believe I recognize you. When I was 14 years old, I was an angry, bitter, renegade teenager, and I didn't know God. But thanks be to God, I was introduced to Jesus Christ and got gloriously born again, and He changed my life. And I wanted to invite you to come up and be with us sometime at church. That boy looked at me with stone cold eyes. He said, I don't give a blank where you preach and what kind of blank preacher you are. You and your God can go to. I'd never been approached like that by a teenager. I mean, I'm a gray-haired man. God knows this is true. First impulse was not for me to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My first impulse was I felt the muscle reactions in my right arm, and I was heading for the glove box to even the score. I'm just trying to be honest with you tonight. And God broke my heart down. And I told him, I said, boys, I don't know who you're angry with, but there's a God in heaven who loves you. There's a God in heaven who loves you. I'm not your enemy. I want to be your friend. If I've ever needed to be full of the Holy Ghost in this anti-God age, I need it now. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I need it now. I need to be able to forgive. I need to be able to forgive my family members. I need to be able to forgive my church family. They don't always mean to be as rude and as crude and as hard as they are. I need to be able to forgive my neighbor. I need to be more like Jesus. The only way I can be is to be full of the Holy Ghost. And then I want you to notice that in verse number 59, being full of the Holy Ghost created in him not only a forgiving spirit, but a powerful prayer. A prayer life. Notice verse number 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. I went with the men back here in the prayer room. I sure enjoyed it. I love prayer rooms prior to service. I knelt in the prophet's chamber. I said, God in heaven, I need you. I need your help. But it's easy for me to pray at these altars. I'm among family. Well, I'm telling you what, you're going to have a real prayer life when those devils are throwing rocks at you. And instead of you throwing rocks back, you're praying. That's a powerful prayer life. I'm telling you, that is an unusual prayer life.
Being full of the Holy Ghost creates within us a prayer life that we can't get any other way. I will never, 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 never know the depth of prayer like I can know if I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I was preaching in the Uwari National Forest, and I was back where cell service wasn't getting into me good. I came out on Thursday evening, closed out the meeting. My clothes were wet. I grabbed some clothes out of my truck, and I was heading back to the pastor's office to change into some dry clothes before I went home. I noticed my cell phone, and my wife had called. It wasn't anything unusual. We talked to each other many times a day. I said, well, I'll call her as soon as I get out. I went in, changed clothes, come back out, tried to call, couldn't get a call through. I pulled out a little bit. I'm watching the bars on it, and finally I got a little signal, so I just popped it back through. When I did, I heard my wife say, Tony, she never answers the phone like that. I said, what? She said, Tony, Anna drowned in the tub. Now, Anna's my second grandbaby. And my cell service dropped. Anna drowned in the tub! I'm trying to get signals back. I'm crying out to God in the cab of that truck. I'm racing down the road trying to get more signals. And I'm saying, God in heaven, God in heaven, God in heaven, help my baby! Help my little one! Help her mama. Help her daddy. Help her big sister who's only less than a... She's 11 months older. She gets nervous easy. I can just picture little Faith all torn up because Anna's drowned in the tub. I'm crying out to God, help us. When I got back through, my wife said, Tony, what I'm trying to tell you is she drowned in the tub. They said she actually died, but John was able to revive her and the EMS was able to revive her a little bit. I'm chasing the ambulance now. I'm headed to the hospital. I go all the way to Greenville, South Carolina that night, straight to the hospital, begging God, help my baby. God was kind to us. She spent one night in the hospital. To my knowledge, she's unharmed. They ran all kinds of tests because she had been without oxygen. They thought it may have affected her brain. But as far as I know, she's doing really good. She looked at me yesterday and she said, Papa, I love you. She told me on the phone today, Papa, I love you. I'm telling you, I don't believe it was necessarily because of my prayers, but I'd have sure hated to have spent half of that trip from the Uwari National Forest down to Greenville, South Carolina, trying to beg God to condition my heart to get where I could pray. Trying to get right with God myself. My wife ought to have a husband that can call on God. My children need somebody in their world that can get in touch with heaven. Our church family needs somebody. Those little old children growing up and those mamas and daddies struggling, they need a preacher that can get a hold of God.
And the only thing that will ever bring that about is not going to be seminars on prayer. Not going to be reading more books on the issue. But being full of the Holy Ghost. It develops a prayer life like nothing else. And then I want you to notice in verse number 56 that here being full of the Holy Ghost caused him to see Jesus. Folks, that's what we need tonight. That will be defined as revival if we get it. To see him. Well, that's what happened here with Stephen. And the only thing that brought it about apparently was being full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says there in verse number 56, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Being full of the Holy Ghost will let you see him every now and then. Nothing quite like seeing him. When he stood up and he let Stephen see him, it proved to Stephen just that fast that, hey, guess what? All this is not in vain. He is alive. He is alive. None of the rest of them could see that around there. You see him there? He is alive! Not only is he alive, he's aware. He knows what's happening to me right here. Have you ever noticed some of the saints of God, it seems like no matter what they go through, and they may tell you through 1,000 tears, tears may be coursing their cheeks and them trembling all over, because I'm telling you, life is really hard on us sometimes. But through all of that, they'll end up looking at you and they'll get that silly littleness about them and they'll say, "But you know, Jesus has been good to me." Amen. Every now and then some old saint of God will say, "He visited with me, preacher." He came to see me. Yeah. That's what's happening right there with Stephen. Right there. Because he's full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gave him a vision of Jesus. Let him see Christ. High and lifted up, alive, aware of his problems, and at the right hand of God. He is who he said he was. He declared himself to be God. Guess what? He is! I'm telling you that the only thing that will help us see Jesus through all of the storm clouds of this life is to be full of the Holy Ghost. How do I get it tonight? Do I come down here and stand in a line, let the preacher pop us on the forehead? How do I get it tonight? Do I read another book on the person and work of the Holy Ghost and try to act just like whoever got filled in there? Do I read more autobiographies and more biographies and find out the stories of these great men that were full of the Holy Ghost? And am I going to have to go through some electrical current? How am I going to be full of God? Well, look with me, if you would, at the chapter just prior to this chapter. Chapter number 6. Verses number 5 and 8. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith." Verse number 8. "And Stephen, full of faith." Now notice the couplet in verse number 5. Let's look at it again. a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 8, Stephen, full of faith and power. Holy Ghost power. How am I to be filled with the Spirit? Well, you may have a lot of unusual things that happen in and around being full of God. But the real foundation stone is having faith in God. Living by faith. I asked you before, who controls your world? Who do you trust? More confidence in Him, less confidence in me. More confidence in Him, less confidence in my church to be able to bail me out. More confidence in Him, less confidence in the federal government to be able to help me. Faith, 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 living by faith. Trusting Him with your life instead of all of your education, all of your money, all of your talents, anything in this world, scrapping all of that and saying, Him and Him alone, I want you controlling my world. I don't want to control it. I don't want any other person here to control it. I don't want any group to control it. God, I want you in control. That's living by faith. He was a man of faith and of the Holy Ghost. A man of faith and power. I'll never be full of the Holy Ghost until I'm looking for Him and Him alone to call the shots. That's an humbling process. We so despise to feel like that we're nothing and that we can't handle it. We just have to somehow feel like we're in control, don't we? God wants me to get to the point to where I truthfully and honestly humble myself and crawl in at the feet of Jesus and say to Him, I just can't do it. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to pastor. I don't know how to deacon. I don't know how to teach Sunday school. I don't know how to be a mom. I don't know how to be a daddy. I don't know how to be Paw. But God, You do. And I want You, please, I beg of You, run and rule my life. And then get up and live by faith that He's able to make the right decisions and point me in the right direction. Dear God, please empty all of Tony out. Make me full of the Spirit of God. Help me to really see and understand that it's You and all of You, and You're the only one I can trust. Life's too complicated. I placed my total faith unreservedly in Thee, full of the Holy Ghost. Please stand tonight. I'm through preaching. I may not have all the answers tonight, and I do not. But while the musician's coming tonight, I want to say something to you. I do know this much about being filled with the Holy Ghost. I know this much about it. I will never experience being full of God if I don't have an appetite for it. I will never know what it is to be full of God. if I'm not hungry for it and thirsty for it. He can be trusted with your life. Dear God in heaven, I'm begging now. I'm begging, I'm begging, I'm pleading. Thou and thou alone art able to do what needs to be done in this service and in our hearts and in our lives. I'm so needy tonight. Lord, we present ourselves humbly before Thee. Lord, recognizing tonight I don't have the answers. And I'm glad, Lord, You do. I beg, and I plead, Lord, that You would please be honored tonight to fill us with Thy Spirit. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. Please, Lord.